This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Where'd you get those shoes? Easy. They're from DSW. Because DSW has the exact right shoes for whatever you're into right now. You know, like the sneakers that make office hours feel like happy hour. The boots that turn grocery aisles into runways. And all the styles that show off the many sides of you, from daydreamer to multitasker and everything in between. Because you do it all in really great shoes. Find a shoe for every you at your DSW store or DSW.com.
Find the time to explore the mind of a stripper.
Then you can find the time to spend with your actual family.
Prime Time with Isaac and Sue.
Damn! What they on? All steroids and no carbs? They're the thick-ass kids.
This is Prime Time.
We're not like you. We're grown-ups.
Your source for the best in local, regional, and national sports. Here are Isaac Ropp and Jason Sakanik with Primetime on 1080 The Fan.
Welcome aboard.
Ahoy to the 9 people listening right now on the road.
That's right. It is a SOB edition of Primetime today. No Ropp. He's still in an all-American city, of Salina, Kansas. We are on today. We were not on yesterday, but it's I, Ryan Buckley, along with Ordner behind the glass and Suk in his seat as always. Fellas, how we doing?
What's good? We're in.
Yeah, we're here.
It's like, hey, we're here.
Yeah, today was like no big deal, even though yesterday was kind of an S show.
I think yesterday probably you could have pulled it off. I don't know why necessarily
I made
you would.
Yeah, like, Ordner showed up.
What did you show up for?
Pilots.
Pilots basketball stops for no one. So.
Oh, my God. They beat the Beavs, right?
They did.
Hey!
They won the whole way through. They were winning.
We were discussing this before you got here today, Suk, but Ordner is getting a lesson in setting the bar too high for himself now.
Yeah.
Because when we went through this exact thing last year, around this same time with the snowstorm, Klondike Ortner came out of the woodwork, and that was the first time that he was like, oh, this guy can be there anytime. He can do anything. And now they're like, hey, there's a snowstorm, but we don't need to worry about pilots. No. Ortner's on it. And well, now that's the expectation, is that Ortner's on it.
Yesterday, it was like, I don't know, 10 in the morning, right? And the boss was like, hey, we'll see how this goes. And that's when it really started to come down at my place.
Same in Beaverton.
The wind was honestly the worst part. Like, dude, my neighbor's fence blew down.
It was whipping.
The little ice crystals were coming out. Everything was starting to freeze over. And we hadn't called it yet. And it's long been established on this program that my significant other, the BTJ, no one freaks out about weather quite like she does. And the amount of like venom and anger that was being spewed my way at the idea that I may have to go to work. Oh my God. And so I just kept playing it up. Like, I don't know what to tell you, hon, the show's on. I'm going. And just, she was cursing. She was like, I will get your boss on the phone right now and tell him to go to hell. You are not driving. You're going to drive down there. There's no one on the road. You're going to come back at 7:30. It's not, and just losing it. And then about noon, I was like, all right, honey, I'm not going in. And it's like getting there isn't a big deal.
It's
coming home across bridges at 7:30. And I'd say that I told this to my daughter, who Portland State closed. She goes to Portland State. She was like, well, I've got a lab today. And I said, honey.
No, you don't.
You know you don't. And I said, even if you do have a lab, one person's going to show up, and that's not going to make a difference. That one day, I get it. If this is going to go on for 9 days, you have to find a way to
different story.
Different story. But you know, you're going to have one day of bad. Dude, and like even the like the every government official is like, dude, if you don't have to, just stay at home.
Yeah.
It's not worth again, I go back to that poor bastard, the guy that owned the Mexican restaurant that Peter panned off the bridge all those years ago.
Yeah.
Because his car's, it's not worth it.
No.
Nah, spend a day. No one's out on the roads anyways. you know, lay around and watch movies and get all fat and sassy. I saw Belfast last night. I watched some hockey.
Okay. Yeah, I was...
What?
I sped. The streets weren't that bad. I was hitting
65. Oh, you were speeding?
Yeah.
How was your night solo here at the station?
I didn't stay the night. I got home. I heard the freezing rain start to come down, and I got home fast.
Yeah. But again, because Will has previously spent the night, they thought, you know what? He might just spend the night for the morning show. And then there wasn't going to be a morning show, so there was no night to spend.
I caught... I'm in like this weird vortex because I was sitting around yesterday and I didn't have anything to do and like everything was closed. So I was just sitting at the house. There's only so much video, like video hockey you can play.
Sure.
So I'd seen a couple movies and so then the Four Nations tournament came on.
Yep.
And so I'm excited about that. Like if you're not a hockey person, like you don't give a rip. But for me, like it's my favorite sport. So I was all geeked up. USA and Finland. So I was all fired up for it. And, but like, I don't know what to do anymore because it's in Montreal, right? This is like this is what they're doing in lieu of the All-Star game.
Right.
They're having a four-nation tournament between Canada, the U.S., Finland, and Sweden, right? So the U.S. is making their debut yesterday.
Mm-hmm.
And during the national anthem, the damn Canadians start to boo us.
Mm.
And so that got my big old USA pride kind of kicked up.
That's right.
But I hate, the USA team is led by the Tkachuk brothers, who I hate. And they're all big Trumpers, and I get why Canada's booing us. I totally get it.
Yeah, we just told them that you're going to be our 51st state against your will. Yeah, I'm sure they're real thrilled with us right now.
And so then I'm trying to be like, well, you know, I love my Canadian brothers, and I like the Canadian players more than I do the American players, but it's in Montreal, and you know what I hate more than anything? The damn people of Montreal and their stupid French. I find they're the worst, like, you think the French are rude?
You're having all kinds of conflict here.
So I didn't know what to do.
I bet not.
So I'm thrown into an entire loop here, and now the Tkachuk brothers, who I hate, and they're like the captains of the American team, they're talking crap to the Canadians, and now the U.S. and Canada are going to play tomorrow, and I don't know what to do. My loyalties are, I don't know what to make of it. I'm all torn up inside.
Well, we can talk a little bit more about the Four Nations, because another thing I talked to Ortner about when I got here, he goes, you know, it's pretty badass. The Four Nations. I'm like, yeah, it's great. And
everyone cares about it. Everyone's like fired up. Dudes are like blocking shots. And
I feel like we've gone through this exercise in rigor morale before where it's like, what can we do to fix the All-Star weekend? Yeah. It's less about that and more that there are a couple sports that have figured out how to channel really good competition as part of exhibition. Yeah. And I don't think it's impossible to make that happen in other ways. So
because that's all this is. It's instead of the All-Star game, they took a 2-week break, 10 days, and they're going to play this little tournament. And it means nothing. And yet everyone is like super fired up about it. And it's turning into like some really, really good hockey.
Yeah.
And I'm very conflicted. I feel like I should root for the United States, and we blew out Finland, which was great.
Smoked them.
As a Swede, let me just say this for the record, kiss my ass, Finland. But I just,
and the Swedes hung tough with Canada.
I love my Swedes. And so I love the Swedes, right? I love Canada. And then I got my American pride, but what do you do? Like, I've never had this. If you, like, you're a Giants guy, right?
Yeah.
Well, who's your, like, what's your diehard team? You're a Seahawks guy?
Probably Seahawks are the best, yeah.
What happens, though, like, when someone you truly hate becomes, like, your quarterback?
Yeah. I didn't like for a while when, like, Washington Huskies, were, as a Ducks fan, would become 49ers. And then I had to learn to love Deshaun Goldson and guys like that.
It's very weird. Like, if you were an anti-Laker guy, and then, like, I always said, like, with the Blazers, I'm like, dude, if Kobe came here, you would kiss his ass in 2 seconds. You're like, no, we'd hate him forever.
Mm-hmm.
So it's very weird when you're watching your country, and I want to bleed red, white, and blue. I want to go Ricky Bobby. These colors don't run. I hate the freaking Tkachuk brothers. Just look up Matthew Tkachuk and tell me that you don't want to punch him in his stupid face.
Yeah, the Tkachuks are, they're kind of hardos, aren't they?
Yes.
Yeah. And Brady's like an instigator guy.
They both are. Yeah. And they're both tools, and now they're yelling and bitching about the Canadians, and it's just, I don't know what to do. This whole USA-Canada game is going to throw me into a complete and total loop, and it's just going to be back and forth. I'm just going to have to like watch the game and see and let the emotions rise. Because sometimes if you don't know where to root for it, you just
it's
watch.
It's almost better that way.
You just watch the game, and then naturally, but I'm kind of terrified that as I watch the game, I'm going to find
you'll pick the wrong side?
I'm going to pick the wrong side. I'm going to find. Like
deep down, you're a Slytherin?
Right, exactly. like Connor McDavid's going to score a goal, and I'm going to be like, yeah. And I'm like, no, I'm American. It's tough. I was going through it last night.
Yeah, I bet.
I was struggling.
I didn't catch much of last night's game because my last 48 hours were spent, with the exception of about 20 minutes in the snow in the backyard with two boys under the age of eight, under the age of four. So that was my last 48-ish hours.
You're happy to just be out of the house.
That's
at this
exactly
point.
Right. Interacting with other adults because also my wife didn't come home on Thursday night, not because she was out, but because her flight home from a business trip was canceled. Hmm. So she came back to she could only get a flight into Seattle, and then she came down this morning. But me and the boys.
You're the only one that was super fired up about hearing that there was a show because you got to excuse to like, I got to leave.
Well,
the house.
And so I mean, yesterday's snow. Like I would have been able to come in, but. My kid's school got canceled, and then the option to help with childcare was my mom, who lives out in Newburgh, and she's up on a hill, and she wasn't going to be able to make it down. So I'm like, no one to watch the kids at the place where we usually take them to get watched. Someone who could come over to watch them also can't make it here. I can't really go anywhere, so we...
I just like that your brain... We've officially reached the point where we know 48 hours of all kid, no adult, rots your brain.
Yeah.
I think that's probably a real thing.
Yeah.
You know, that's why you got to stick to a strict drug regimen. Keep your mind limber.
That's
otherwise,
exactly right.
There's too many, Bluey or Paw Patrol?
Oh, and yeah, we ran through a bunch of them. Let's see. Yesterday, because yesterday was like the full day at home with the kids. It started before 6 a.m. and ended around 8 p.m. Yeah. And I think because we were mostly doing indoor activities, there was a lot of Disney stuff in the background. I think we hit Moana early on. We hit some Mickey Mouse Funhouse. We hit, what else did we do? Today we fired up Finding Nemo, which I like.
Yeah. When you can find one that you can tolerate, that's worth its weight in gold. Because even now, during the holidays or whatever, I'll have all my kids around me and we'll be flipping through it and something will come on. In fact, this holiday, if you're a girl dad, you remember these, but Barbie made a bunch of DVDs, like the Barbie Mattel brand, and it would be like Barbie and Swan Lake, Barbie and the Nutcracker, and they were animated movies of that, but Barbie is the main character. And one of them came on during the holidays, and my daughter turned to me and goes, "Oh my God, you've seen this. How many times?" And I'm like, probably 20. And she just looked at me and goes, "I'm sorry." She's like, "I love you." Came over and gave me a hug. And she's like, "You know every word of this." And I'm like, "Yes, I have seen this. I have seen Barbie and the Nutcracker no less than 20 times." And as your kids get older, they will appreciate. One day, your two boys will look at you and be like, "Thank you, Dad."
Yeah, and they're at the age, especially the one who's almost four, is like, he's in the high repetition stage. And so he'll go on a kick for one thing. Like, he could watch Moana six times in a day and be totally fine. And then in 2 weeks, it'll be something totally
Buckley,
different.
I watched High School Musical once, probably over a seven-day period, no less than 13 times.
Yeah. So what I was going to say, though, is that I really like Bluey for the reason that all the episodes are 8 minutes long.
Oh, that's tasty.
And there's like three seasons of like 50 episodes each. So you never see a repeat, and they're kind of written a little bit for the adults too. Mm-hmm. There are plot lines that are about like the adults always being tired, or why does mama want to go on a walk by herself and stuff like that. And there's the kid stuff too. And they have the cheeky Australian accents. They're a family of blue heelers. Bluey does it for me right now. And the theme song absolutely slaps. It's the best. It's the best of the bunch.
SpongeBob was probably mine.
Okay.
I remember I could handle SpongeBob.
SpongeBob missed me. Like that was my brother was SpongeBob, but like I was just out of cartoons when SpongeBob became like not just out, but like SpongeBob was not in my little purview, but I bet it's in Will's.
Yeah, I love SpongeBob. The other one, if you have YouTube through your TV, Kid Story Time, Kid Story or whatever, if you ever get like stuck in a hard spot and you need like someone else to read a book to your kids, it's about 15 to 20 minutes a book. That's a good one to use too.
Okay.
And I definitely don't do that as a substitute when I don't want to read to the kids. Definitely don't ever do that.
You just punt to YouTube?
I would never read The Bad Seed through YouTube.
I could do SpongeBob, which I enjoyed, was probably my go-to. Like Phineas and Ferb, I remember, was pretty good that I could get behind from time to time. Powerpuff Girls was a big deal because I had girls.
Yeah.
So Powerpuff Girls, Mojo Jojo, Evil Monkey, like you could find little, and then every now and then you just had to suck it up and be like, well, here, Barbie Nutcracker, let's go. High School Musical was tough.
Yeah.
High School Musical and then like the Nickelodeon shows like the Zach and Cody or The Sweet Life.
The Sweet Life on Deck.
Oh my God, those
rock.
Those were just,
they're cringe.
They were so bad. I remember just sitting there and being like, why? What? It's like, how much can I drink and not be considered a terrible father at this point? You know, just a little.
Well, on a day where you're stuck indoors and definitely not driving anywhere, I don't think there's a limit to that.
No. Well.
Well, maybe some limit. The other thing that I wanted to bandy about and just kind of like bait the hook with and see what we get throughout the show. On my way in, I was listening to our esteemed afternoon show, Danny and Dusty.
Yes, as was I.
And did you hear them talking about the activity Danny will be doing at Moda Center at some point this basketball season?
No. What's he doing?
Danny's going to be in the Battle Ball.
What is, oh.
Where they put you inside the giant inflatable ball, and then you sprint at someone full speed and like run right in.
So like during a Blazer game?
Yeah. I guess during a timeout, something like that.
What's the opening of the Battle Ball?
I also
need to know how much room is in that thing.
Well, and then also like they were discussing like which other Blazer media member could take on Danny, and he's like, not a lot of other ones in my weight class, if we're being honest here. But we've done this for 1080 the Fan before, where it's like we talk about like, which show would win in a 3-on-3 tournament. We're like, now I'm wondering what would be the best Battle Ball matchups that you would want to see among fan hosts here, and also just in sports in general, who should just go full speed ahead in a giant puffy orb?
You'd have to find people that were willing to do it. You're not getting me in a battle orb. Ortner, that's an Ortner thing. Will would go battle.
And actually,
ball.
That's the matchup I want to see.
I used to love knockerball back in the day. Did you ever play knockerball?
Souk versus Ortner in a battle ball? I want to see that.
Dude, I am almost 47
years
old.
It won't hurt.
You know what I'm not doing? I'm not getting in something. What did you say? Knocker what?
Knockerball. It's soccer, but with the battle ball, and you just like run through people. Yeah. It doesn't hurt, trust me. Like, we used to just line up on opposite sides of the field and sprint towards each other and smash into each other.
Here's the thing. It's not a matter of hurting. I'm more than capable and willing to do things that hurt way worse than that. It's the idea of I'm not getting in something called a battle ball. We're not.
See, this
is
exactly why we need to see it.
We're not doing this.
You're not a man of the people, man. It's a lot. You would enjoy it. No, you like physical harm on others.
We're good here. If I'm going to commit physical acts of harm, we can actually do something that actually will harm someone, not battle nook, whatever the hell it is.
Knockerball.
Knockerball.
It combines soccer and knockers.
Thinking like some Bavarian milkers.
Yeah, I just hear knockerball, and I do not think of the battle ball.
No, exactly. I'll leave that to Danny and Ortner over there. You guys can knocker each other all day. I'm good. I've reached a point like that's a little bit of like Rob where I'm like, I don't need to be in this knockerball right now. So I'm not going to. I'm good. What is in this for me? I'm solid.
No, nothing except for just being able to obliterate your colleagues.
We're good.
Well, we are good because today is a truncated show, and we all learned this listening to the afternoon show, that we will not have a club hour today. That is because it is All-Star Weekend, and a number of your Blazers are in the Rising Stars Challenge this evening, which you'll be able to hear right here on The Fan starting at 6. So we've got about 2 hours and 40-ish minutes to kind of chew the fat and talk about whatever. There's not a lot going on in the world of sports. There was a ton going on at the Philadelphia Eagles Super Bowl parade today.
Oh, yeah, 100%.
We may have some quarterback talk as well, but we're going to kick it around a little bit, but where we'll start next, Ortner got me peaked on this, all-star formats, the ones that work and what we can do to make others more like them. It's coming up next, an SOB edition of Primetime 1080 The Fan.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
Hey. I'm Andy. If you don't know me, it's probably because I'm not famous. But I did start a men's grooming company called Harry's. The idea for Harry's came out of a frustrating experience I had buying razor blades. Most brands were overpriced, overdesigned, and out of touch. At Harry's, our approach is simple. Here's our secret. We make sharp, durable blades and sell them at honest prices for as low as $2 each. We care about quality so much that we do some crazy things, like buy a world-class German blade factory. Obsessing over every detail means we're confident in offering a 100% quality guarantee. Millions of guys have already made the switch to Harry's, so thank you if you're one of them. And if you're not, we hope you give us a try with this special offer. Get a Harry starter set with a 5-blade razor, weighted handle, shave gel, and a travel cover. All for just $3 plus free shipping. Just go to harrys.com and enter code STYLE at checkout. That's harrys.com, code STYLE. Enjoy.
Yeah, sure thing.
Hey, you sold that car yet?
Yeah, sold it to Carvana.
Oh, I thought you were selling to that guy.
The guy who wanted to pay me in foreign currency, no interest over 36 months? Yeah, no. Carvana gave me an offer in minutes, picked it up, and paid me on the spot. It was so convenient.
Just like that.
Yeah.
No hassle.
None.
That is super convenient.
Sell your car to Carvana and swap hassle for convenience. Pickup fees may apply.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
Flurries of fun await this winter in Indiana. Feel the rush of the Midwest's only refrigerated toboggan run. Ski down snow-covered slopes and marvel at frozen waterfalls on a winter hike. When it's time to unwind, from outdoor fun to indoor escapes, your perfect winter getaway starts in Indiana. Plan your trip today at inindiana.com/winter.
Welcome back to Primetime, an SOB edition. No Rob, he's in an all-American city of Salina, Kansas. He'll be back on Tuesday. No show Monday because of the President's Day. But
Lincoln or whatever president that you love.
Yeah, that's always been a weird one to me because it's not any of their actual birthdays. They're like, a bunch of the presidents were kind of born around now. Let's just throw something on the calendar.
I don't really celebrate presidents, but all right, you go, I don't know, go tough job.
So. I saw someone say the other day that every working American should just be able to choose whatever 7 holidays they want. And take them on the calendar. Like, you know, everybody gets Christmas. Everyone gets Thanksgiving. Some companies will give you, you know, Black Friday off. Others won't. And everyone has a slightly different policy. Since none of them align anyways, just let people take whatever they want.
Yeah. Or just, like, join a bunch of religions. Can you take, like, all of, like, the Jewish holidays off? I get, like, Hanukkah. And then
yeah, there's
Christmas
a bunch of extra ones for Jewish holidays.
Yeah, right.
Yeah, I mean, and then, that can be tough, though, because then you got to do fasting while you're at work sometimes. I don't know.
No, yeah, I don't want to do that.
No. Fasting?
Well, I mean, I can, like, pretend, right? I mean,
of course,
most of the people I know that claim to be religious aren't really religious anyway. So, you know, it seems very selective and pick and choosy how we want to do that. People love to pick out their one or two things in that book. And I'm like, you didn't bother to read the rest of that, did you?
Told you it'd be a very light prime time today. We're going to unwrap religion here on the show.
I'll go to my corner now and shut up. Sorry about that.
Sports can be religion, though, or at least people can take sports as religion. And I actually think that is one of the closest things that we get to, similar to how people are about defending their religion and their background, their makeup, we see in some all-star formats that level of country pride. We see, like, whether it's the World Baseball Classic,
Sure. Now
the four nations, it seems like often the best sporting events, period, but definitely the best sports exhibition events are those that have something, a little extra juice behind them.
Yeah.
And people aren't doing it for the money. They're definitely not doing it just because they're on TV, like no. the NBA All-Star games of the world. You know, no one's trying. We've completely bastardized the NFL one, but the ones that seem to actually still work and have some juice behind them is because there's something extra at play there. And
national pride is a great one. Like,
it's a great motivator. It's fun.
If you've ever listened to anyone in hockey and this lead up to this Four Nation, everyone talks about how special it is to put on the jersey, right? And soccer has this too, right? Anytime there's international competitions. And some of that is that those people in those sports grew up with that, mm-hmm. whereas some of the others didn't necessarily have that. Like, you know, no one really else plays football in the world than the United States.
Right.
The NBA is one that I would think that you could get on board with this because it's such an international game.
It feels like you should be able to do kind of a U.S. versus world. Now, I don't know how much the world team would take pride in, like, oh, we're just on the international team. But if, like, so I don't know how you make that work. But, like, baseball's perfect because you have so many nations
and they care.
That are evenly represented almost.
Well, and I at least think that you should try it.
Agreed.
But one of the problems that we have, too, with basketball is because we were always so far ahead of everyone else, I still think we have this, if we really try, it doesn't really matter. And when we lose, we kind of dismiss it anyways.
Well, we didn't really care that much.
Yeah, we have this weird kind of relationship with it where I for whatever reason, basketball just has never, I just don't think it grabs people the same way. I don't think the players care as much.
But when they do, you saw this last Olympic cycle.
Yes.
And like, I mean, they were supposed to steamroll everybody, but then when towards the end, when they had to take on, I think it was Serbia followed by France, and both of those games were close, this whole country came together, and it was awesome. And it was heated on both sides, and again, you get one of the best possible outcomes because there's the national pride involved.
It is true. Like, if the NBA wanted to come up with a better exhibition game, this is the way. It really is the only way to get people to be involved. It's the only way to get people to truly be engaged is if you put some sort of, because money's not going to do it. Monetary, you know, even if you put up a couple $1,000,000, I'm not certain that that's going to do anything. These guys make so much money.
Or one guy goes for it and everyone else is still lazy. And it doesn't look like you're actually raising the bar.
You can't do the baseball thing where you try to make the game mean something. That was ridiculous with the home field advantage. That was dumb. So you really do, it comes down to pride. Have you ever had your pride stoked doing something?
Yes.
Like, you don't even...
I mean, that's what sports is for, kind of.
Yeah, you don't even realize that it's happening. Like, I can't tell you how many times over the course of my life you're doing something, and maybe you're playing against your kid, or maybe you're playing against a neighbor, or you're playing pickup whatever at 24-hour fitness, or, you know, whatever it is you're doing. And out of nowhere, you just find yourself, for lack of a better word, you find yourself kind of, like, just pissed off. You find yourself caring. You find yourself kind of putting your foot on the gas a little bit. And that's pride. Pride can be the best and it can be the worst thing. But I don't know if there's a better motivator than pride.
Yeah.
And so how do you stoke pride in millionaire athletes? And I do think that national pride means something.
Mm-hmm.
And to me, when I see whether it's the Olympics, and I certainly see hockey, and hockey has it in spades because that is... It's such an international sport.
And Canadians take it so seriously. And the Euros take it so seriously.
And then I would like to think with the NBA and the international game spreading, and let's be honest, the international game is not just caught up to the United States.
Probably eclipsed them a little bit.
It's certainly coming for it.
At least as far as development is concerned.
Yes. And top-end players. If you gave me the best, and it's saying something because you're talking about one country versus the world, but... If you gave me let's take LeBron still, we'll take Tatum, you take Steph, the Anthony Edwards, give me a power forward.
Let's say.
You know, throw KD on there?
Yeah, let's throw KD in there.
Or Bam.
And I know that's an older team, but
Bam was on the Olympic team.
We'll throw that together, okay? And then on the other side, I get Jokic, I get Wemby.
Get Luka.
I get Shea is Canadian, right?
Yeah, SGA.
So you give me Shea.
Jamal Murray, maybe.
And then give me Giannis.
Yeah, there you go. That'd be awesome.
No offense, but that international team is going to kick us in the balls and make us believe in it. But if you wanted to get some of the American players to care, get embarrassed by that international team.
I like that.
And all of a sudden, I do think you've got some heat. I do. If you wanted something in the NBA to actually matter, I think that right there may light a fire under someone's ass because no one wants to get embarrassed in your game.
I like that.
And you can't do the international thing like you do with hockey, because again, I just don't think there's enough representation
right.
for individual countries.
Right.
But an international versus, or even if you want to do a North American versus the world, and you give us the Canadians so we get Murray and we get SGA.
Yeah.
But something like that.
It would work.
And
it's worth a try.
And it's worth a try, right? And you gave it more than the 3 or 4 days you did like hockey did, and you give it a week or 10 days, and you let that breathe a little bit, and you played a 3-game series. Right? We're going to take this over 10 days and we're going to give a best of three. You got to win two of them. International versus the U.S. I think there'd be some trash talk.
Yeah.
I think there'd be a little heat to it.
Well, and then because of the way the first one went down, it would add extra juice to the second and potentially third.
Yes. And you put it like this is up in Montreal because obviously that's a hockey mecca. Mm-hmm. So you put this in Madison Square Garden.
Yeah.
You put it in Los Angeles. I think New York is probably a little bit better. Let's get some angry East Coast people. Maybe a little easier for some of the international community to come over if you want. You do those 3 games over 10 days, and I think you really, really got something that would light a fire under some people's asses, because no one wants to be embarrassed.
Yeah.
Again, pride is the great motivator, and no one wants to get embarrassed on their home soil in front of their fans at, quote, their game.
I don't think it's going to matter this year, because I don't know that anyone even is all that aware of how the new format's going to be, but they are trying something different in this year's All-Star game. They've got 4 teams. One of them's going to be a Rising Stars team, and the other's drafted and coached by the NBA on TNT guys. And so we'll see if there's some added value just from an entertainment perspective. But I think we've found a way to get the juices flowing, and it often comes with flying your flag on your jersey. So
yeah, it would for me.
Yeah.
I mean, if you tell me my national pride's on the line, I mean, hell, man, I get national pride. My mom was born and raised in Sweden. I get a little pride even for my Swedish background. I think we all have a little bit of that.
Mm-hmm.
Go find an Irishman sometime and tell me if that guy doesn't get a little welled up with national pride anytime Ireland's doing something or you know, when Iceland goes to the World Cup. We need a little something like that. And I would love to see something in the United States that kind of, you know, because we take this, we don't care, we're too cool for school attitude. And I'd love it if we got something that kind of,
yeah,
rallied us once, because God knows we need it right now.
I like it. Well, the a fan base that needs no rallying, the Philadelphia Eagles, they had their parade today, and it was a very, very big day for beer cans. Bud Light specifically. Going to get into that coming up next, but first, Ortner with SportsCenter.
Prime Time with Isaac and Souk on 1080 The Fan.
Parade day in Philadelphia, much like us here in Portland, the weather was going to hamper them. So usually you get the championship parade like 2 days after the championship, which would have been like a Tuesday or Wednesday for them.
Yeah.
But they postponed it to Friday because they were going to have too much snow and inclement weather there. But they were expected to get over 1 million people as they closed all the Philadelphia schools, and the parade floats all made it through. And what a scene. I mean, I love it every year when now to see kind of the highlights of them, because it feels like, for one, all the athletes are finally like letting their hair down.
Yeah.
And you see that a little bit in the post-game celebration, but I think they're still basking in the glow of the game at that point in time. And, you know, this is the one. Our inhibitions are totally down because we're totally tanked and we're in front of millions of people. And like, you know, like it's for all the world to see. It's like a little like snapshot into who all these dudes are when they're like having a party time.
I do enjoy like at the Golden Globes, like all the actors get S House.
Yep.
As opposed to like the Oscars where you have to be all prim and proper. I do enjoy.
Unless you're slapping Chris Rock.
Yeah, that's true. I do enjoy now that we get drunk Tom Brady,
yeah.
Right?
Yeah, I mean, exactly.
I got Howie Roseman, the GM, taking a Bud Light can off the dome. Yeah, dude, Landon Dickerson's just on TV cursing up a storm. Philadelphia TV's freaking out.
I missed that. So what did Landon do?
Because every time they stuck a mic in front of him, like he kept dropping F-bombs. And like every news station kept running his interviews. And it was like, dude, you've had to bleep him like 7 times. It's going to happen again. So it's just a series of Philadelphia stations being like, oh, sorry, he's had a few. Like, it's the only time where it's appropriate for athletes to just get rip S drunk.
Yep.
And no one cares. I got Josh Sweat out there being like, yeah, I should have been the MVP, but it's all cool. Like, he's literally like dead serious. He's wearing Chris Long's mink coat.
Yep.
Telling reporters, yeah, we know who the MVP was. It should have been me, but you know, whatever. It's cool. But you know, it bothers him. He's drunk and just telling people, yes, it's bothering me.
Calling it like it is.
It's fantastic.
Yeah.
It's good times.
I've got a whole list of moments from this parade, and so we can just start making our way down the list. But we'll start with the beer, because you mentioned it. Howie Roseman, their GM.
It's the best one.
By the way, people in Philly are chucking around full beers like it's going out of style.
By the way, that honestly...
It's a bad idea.
That is not a great idea. And I know this was like a Stone Cold Steve Austin thing back in the day, but dude... Beers or sodas, anything that's a 12-ounce can, God forbid you get a tall boy out there or a glass bottle. You get hit with one of those. Look at Howie Roseman's forehead. When people like say that he got hit, you think, no. That dude has a horseshoe cut.
Yeah, he got the bottom of the can lip, like, right on his forehead, and he's given his championship parade speech with a welt on his head.
He said, "I bleed for this city." When he wakes up tomorrow, dude, that thing is going to be gnarly.
Yeah.
You cannot, I guess you can, but you probably shouldn't be hucking beers. You imagine like at a concert, like if you started throwing beers at performers, like you can't do that. But in championship brands, we're like, beers flying.
And like the athletes are kind of cool with it. They're like catching them and they're tossing them. But then like I saw another one that was intended for somebody else and it just like it hit one of their guests on the bus and like hit her in the back.
Well, going back to the Josh Sweat who was... S House, he was giving an interview and he was like, "I couldn't help it. I was laughing." He goes, "I'm pretty sure Roseman's pissed at me, but I was standing right there when it happened." He goes, "I just started laughing." And he's on the, and they're like, "I think he was really hurt. Now he's pissed at me, but what are you going to do? And it is true. Like, if I was drunk on a parade float and I saw my coach or GM get hit,
how can you not laugh?
But at the same time, you're like, "Oh, dude, that."
As long as he's like, he's not bleeding profusely and knocked out, you're going to laugh. More beer can shenanigans, though. So one, we saw after the actual game, Saquon shotgunning a beer in the locker room, and he did it with the efficiency of a tried and true frat boy. I mean, he got it down quick and then did it again in the parade, but that wasn't the only Bud Light he messed with in the parade. He gave all of his linemen a truckload full of Bud Light, and you mentioned it earlier. I wasn't really kind of adding all this up. Bud Light is on a massive comeback tear right now.
Bud Light for like 30 years was the number one beer in the United States. They sold more beer. And then, Bud had some problems. The Kid Rock and some of his red-hatted friends, they took Bud Light down a notch or two. And dude, Bud Light has made a monster comeback. They're the official beer of the UFC. Kid Rock's back drinking it again, right? What else we got? Shane Gillis, who's like the biggest bro going right now. Shane Gillis is their like official spokesman. They got Peyton Manning and him doing a kick-ass commercial.
And even in music, Post Malone's pretty big too.
Post Malone, by the way, is a beer spokesman. And now they're the presenting beer of the Super Bowl. All the Eagles players had Bud Light goggles on.
Goggles, yes.
Saquon Barkley is now gifting. Each lineman got a truck. Their own Bud Light truck of beer. Monster comeback for Bud Light.
Big time.
I can't say I'm a Bud Light guy, but I'm just, kudos to you, Bud Light. You took it on the chin, had to go back, revamp a little bit. Whatever you thought of why they took it on the chin, monster comeback on the part of Bud Light.
And then additionally for Saquon, he just keeps coming off like a really cool dude. Every time I learn more about him, and I don't know why his profile just... He was with the New York Giants. I know they were bad, but I felt like I never knew a whole lot about him. But more stuff that comes out about him, the more it seems he's easier to like.
Yeah.
On the parade route today, a fan got his attention. Well, it was one of the Eagles ball boys. I don't know. Did you see this video
that came out? I didn't know that was a ball boy with the little kid.
So it was a ball boy for, and I don't know, practice facility, whatever, but not part of the team staff, but someone who has worked with Saquon and the Eagles. And he got Saquon's attention, and instead of just high-fiving him, Saquon runs over and lifts him up over the barrier, like he's a toddler, by the way, and just is like, "No, you're coming with me. You're in the parade now. Let's go." And just takes it with him.
I saw that. I didn't know that was one of the ball boys.
Yeah, it's a kid he knows who works with the team.
There was another one where someone had a sign that said, "Hey, it's my third birthday," and Saquon went over and picked the little girl up.
It's amazing.
And held the sign and was taking photos and all that. And again, I always say this to athletes, like, it's not that hard.
No.
For every athlete that wants to be bitchy and moany to the media and fans, and I get it, dude. You can do whatever you want. You make millions of dollars, you want to be an old curmudgeon. Totally get it. It never seems that hard to me to...
It costs almost nothing.
It costs almost nothing other than a few seconds of your time. And even if that's not really who you are, isn't it just beneficial to just every now and then to do the song and dance, put on the mask, and just be a decent human being for like 30 seconds.
Even when it's just like a hand hanging over the tunnel. When an athlete walks by that and doesn't slap it, I'm like, how hard would that have been?
Yeah.
How, you know, like I and then you see how this makes somebody's entire year to be part of a moment like that. You know, we talked about it with the Justin Herbert sport clips lady or whatever. I mean, just people who are important, at least in a sports sense, being nice goes such a long way. And you saw some of that today with Saquon. I want to get into some more odds and ends from the parade because there's a bunch of other great stuff to get into.
It was a good parade, and I love the fact that there is no lamp or light pole that a Philly fan will not climb. You can grease those things all you want. Someone died earlier, and it doesn't matter. Philly fan is going to climb. Good luck getting them to stop.
Yeah, good luck getting them to stop. We will continue talking about this Philly parade and get into some other NFL talk, a little bit about the Super Bowl hangover that Suk and I were chewing on earlier, as well as some quarterback talk that's coming up next. Primetime, 1080 The Fan.
Primetime with Isaac and Suk on 1080 The Fan.
Welcome back to Primetime, a Ropless edition. He'll be back on Tuesday. Talking a little bit of Super Bowl parade in Philly today. A couple other events or notable things there is the C.J. Gardner-Johnson doubling down and leaning in against the Swifties in his war against them. This was something that it seemed like he started on his own when he took a shot at Travis Kelce on Instagram after the Super Bowl, basically saying you should go back to dating a different type of woman.
Well, I will say that if you look at Travis Kelce's dating history, we talked about this a couple weeks ago. Yeah. He certainly had a type.
Yeah.
And that
and
type
it's not Taylor Swift.
Dark-skinned and thick and curvy. And then he went to Taylor Swift. Yeah, he said stick with that thick S.
Yeah.
And so Swifties, and it went from there.
As we have learned, Swifties don't take kindly to slander against their queen. And so, you informed me that I guess this restaurant isn't even a thing anymore. But in a way to try to find revenge and get their payback, Swifties united to find the former restaurant of C.J. Gardner-Johnson's mother that she either ran or worked at, and they all showed up in droves to leave one-star terrible reviews about this restaurant that I guess was defunct anyways.
Yeah, it was the King's Grill. It was bombarded by negative reviews by obsessed fans, but it was the mom who had the last laugh. She said, I have friends who were sending me texts and screenshots. They were going, oh my God, look at this. And the first thing everyone was laughing about them having attacked. But he said there's really no backlash because we're in the process of selling King's Grill anyways. It didn't affect us one way or another. So, you know.
And so
whoever's buying it is probably like, what the hell,
wonderful.
Man?
I guess we got to change the name now. But then the part that surprised me is that, okay, so she and they maybe get the last laugh here. No. Going into this offseason, it sounds like C.J. Gardner-Johnson wants a war with the Swifties because then he then put on a T-shirt, which if I read it to you, I don't think I can actually say it over the air, but it says, Swifties can, and then it has the Roman symbol for the Super Bowl, which was L-I-X.
Yeah, yeah, licks.
Swifties can, L-I-X, and then beneath that, my beanbag. Well, not my beanbag, but my balls.
It's football. Which, you know, hey.
And so if he thought he was catching some for that first Instagram post, I feel like it's only going to get worse now, and apparently he don't care.
Well, I mean, I've said this a lot of times about the whole internet bullying thing. You know, can't you just not be on the internet? Like, I'm not trying to make light of kids that, I don't want any kid to get bullied, but when I hear the, like, oh my God, it's on Instagram, you know, you
log
just,
off.
You just log off. And I do enjoy that Gardner Johnson's like, dude, I don't give two S's. Oh no, a bunch of people are sending me mean comments on Instagram. Boo-hoo.
Speaking of logging off, we'll talk about this a little bit later when we talk quarterbacks and Aaron Rodgers. See what the Jets did yesterday?
Oh,
They felt the need to make a formal announcement that he will not be our quarterback. No. You know, you just don't have to tweet about that.
Maybe trying to get ahead of the narrative,
but
I suppose.
It was already out there that he had the meeting. And then they got all this blowback. Is like, they only posted a photo of the Jets helmet and not Rodgers. And so then there's another post that was like, thanks for everything, eight. They give him a little, I love you hand emoji. And I'm like, Woody Johnson's out there saying, you know, he embodied what it meant to be a Jet for the time that he was. Shut up. You guys could just say this was bad.
I think it was Dave Chappelle that once said this, because, you know, Chappelle got into it with the Twitter folks, and there was the LGBT, it was the trans community that was coming after him.
Yeah.
And I think it was Dave once that said something along the lines of, you know, I don't really care about the people of Twitter that are angry at me because it's not real. is it's not a real community. Like if you piss off the people of Reading, Pennsylvania, then that's a community of people. This other thing, it's like we do this all the time where it's like the internet is mad at you and you're like,
Oh no, what am I going
to
do?
Yeah. To someone like, to Dave Chappelle, he's like, oh, you can be mad at me all you want. That idea, it's the Swifties coming after Gardner Johnson. I just love that he doesn't care. We get far too caught up in sometimes in a handful of people, or in the case of the Swifties, let's say 1,000 Swifties, sure. Right? You know, you get 1,000 messages, that feels like you're being bombarded, but it's still 1,000 people in a country of 330 million or a world of 8 billion.
Yeah.
Oh, well, it's a bunch of angry girls sending you messages. Boo-hoo. You know, although, did you also see in the parade, did you see that Nolan Smith kidnapped someone's child?
Wait, what? No. I mean, obviously not in, but like.
There's so many good things from this Philadelphia parade, including the lick my, the Swifties can lick my whatever. Yeah, Nolan Smith reaches over the barrier, picks up this little kid, puts him on his shoulders, and just walks off with him. And I think it was an Eagle staff member eventually, and like a state trooper went over to him and was like, yeah, I think. They like handed him a beer and took the kid.
So it wasn't like fan's kid. They're like, here, hold my kid. And he's like, sure, I'm going to keep walking. And they're we need our child back.
Yeah,
actually.
The fan's kid, they were there. And I'm sure the fan was all fired up about it.
Because, I guess if you're a fan, you got to tell him I need that kid back. Or like,
it's like, I'm telling you, look it up. Look at Nolan. Look up Nolan Smith. First off, he's drunk. Like, he's got beer all over down the front of his shirt. And he takes the kid and he's like at the barrier. He picks him up. He puts him on his shoulders and starts walking around with him. And this goes on, and he walks away from where the parents are at.
And they're probably behind a barrier.
They're probably behind the barrier or whatnot. And then, like I said, like a short time later, literally someone else comes up to him, and then like a state trooper is over there, and they just hand him a beer, and the guy like takes the kid off the shoulders, and Nolan Smith's like, kind of, what, huh? I think he forgot he had the kid.
That's amazing.
He just was wandering off with someone's kid. There is no, like when you are in the championship parade, I really do feel like all bets are off. It's Lord of the Flies.
Yeah.
Piggy has the conch. He's got hit by the rock. There's a pig's head on a pike somewhere, and just anything goes. There's no rules to anything.
Speaking of anything goes, we also watched the kicker for the Eagles, Jake Elliott.
Yes.
Fans asked him to come down and basically kick a field goal off the street through their arms as uprights with a beer, and he did it, and it was awesome.
It worked. And I'm telling you, there's just nothing better. There's nothing better. I'm not a fan of Philadelphia, not an Eagles guy, but damn it, you guys nailed it. You guys knocked it out of the park with the parade.
And maybe we'll leave it with this. There are a couple other...
Watch this. Yeah,
oh, okay.
Yeah, watch. Watch as someone comes over. You know someone...
He's high-fiving everybody.
Yeah, you know someone whispered to him, like, dude, you can't take that kid.
Like, hey, who's...
Yeah, whose baby is
you gotta
that,
take
dude?
That kid home.
You gotta take that kid back.
And he's helping the kid wave to the crowd.
Yeah. And look, they just hand him a beer.
Like,
they
do no. They, yeah, well, let's switch.
They trade him a beer for the kid.
Here, get the kid down off the shoulders. We'll give you the beer. Yeah, we'll keep
and
going.
And I guarantee no one's like, what? Amazing. Huh? What? Oh, yeah, I got a kid. And then there's like a cop that's like talking to him. Probably like, hey, no big deal, but like, can't wander off.
So I just.
The kid's like three, by the way. You can't wander off with a 3-year-old. No. And by the way, to parents out there, while that is kind of a cool moment for you, it might be terrifying that you just handed your 3-year-old to a piss drunk NFL player that's now wandering around. That little kid has no idea what's going on.
No.
None. Like, whenever I see this, like, where there's like a little kid and like he's holding a sign that's like, it's my dream, whatever. No, it's not. That's not that kid's
dream. It's your dad's dream.
It's your dad's dream. That kid has no idea what's going on. That kid only knows that he's somewhere with a lot of people and he just got handed to a stranger that smells like grandpa. And now it's awkward, and now there's a cop taking him off your shoulders.
That was like the kid at the Boston parade. He's like, I'm only 7 years old, and I've been to 11 of these or whatever. And the people are like, oh, that kid, he sure knows he's got it good, doesn't he? It's like, no his parents are like telling the world, you know?
Just saying, parents out there, don't hand your kids to strangers, athletes. Don't do that. That's not a good thing. And you know that state trooper right behind, like, he's following him.
Yeah.
That state trooper immediately.
He has my son.
Yeah. That state trooper immediately was just, like, watching this, being like, this can't go well. Yeah. Nothing good happens.
He's going to fall off the back.
Yes. Nothing good happens here.
Well, I tabbed over to Twitter just to find that video, which you ended up showing me. Yeah. But what I got was a different parade video. And I had seen a still shot of this couple before. Did you see the couple that got married at the parade today?
No.
There's a woman in a wedding dress, and her I guess, fiance in black slacks and an Eagles jersey, and they're tying the knot at the parade. But it doesn't get any more Philly than this, because the video I'm seeing now has her in like the train station or whatever, mm-hmm. and he's like helping her with her dress. What accessory do you think she might have worn with her wedding dress today?
With the wedding dress? Was there some sort of Eagles head that she was wearing?
Nope. Think more criminal than that.
Criminal?
She's wearing an ankle monitor.
Oh.
If you look here.
Oh damn.
She's there with her white high heels and her white wedding dress, and there's her ankle monitor as she and her beau to be walked down.
Yeah, I see it right there. I see a lot of lower leg tattoo and then an ankle monitor.
Let me guess too with this couple. Both probably a little bit overweight.
No.
Surprisingly, she's got super short hair. Like I saw another photo of her. She's got maybe a little bit of an upset there, Ortner, but
I would have thought fat.
Look, there's still a
I don't want to be judgy here, but can I be judgy?
Oh, please.
Oh, well, I'm seeing a close up, right?
Aside from the fat thing,
they're not fat.
That's what I'm saying.
We got we got some meth teeth.
That's kind of
we got
there's
both.
That's
why
they're not fat. I see.
Yeah, they're not fat, but there is I think we now know upon the close up of the face.
She's wearing an ankle monitor.
I think we got a good idea of why the ankle monitor is there, and I think that's meth. Teeth don't lie, and I feel bad. I don't want to judge, but I feel pretty comfortable in my assessment of the situation.
I think it's a fair one.
It's fair. It's fair.
We'll see if we have time for other parade news and notes a little bit later. But coming up next, going to get into a little bit of quarterback talk. Aaron Rodgers, Joe Burrow, Trevor Lawrence, bunch of names that have been in the news for different reasons. We'll start to dig into that next. Primetime, 1080 The Fan.
This President's Day, upgrade the look of your home without breaking your budget. Save up to 50% site-wide on brand new window treatments now at Blinds.com. Blinds.com, the number one online retailer of custom window treatments, is the better way to give your home the presidential treatment. Blinds.com makes it easy with free virtual consultations on your schedule and samples delivered directly to your door, fast and free. Choose from trending woven wood shades or upgrade to motorized. Blinds.com has everything and more, all with upfront pricing and no hidden fees. Need help with installation? Blinds.com can handle it for you. Or DIY with expert guidance from our design pros. With over 25 million windows covered and our 100% satisfaction guarantee, you can count on Blinds.com to deliver results you'll love. Shop Blinds.com's President's Day Mega Sale right now and save up to 50% site-wide, plus a free professional measure. Up to 50% off site-wide at Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
Ah, can't you see it? A glistening 100-megawatt solar field begging to be built? It's photovoltaic modules and balance of system powering a renewable energy tomorrow that's squeaky clean? We know that unless you have the right supplier, that world might just be a fantasy. But here at Graybar, with years of renewables experience, we live in that world. Get in touch to see for yourself.
We are now ready to depart.
Book your visit at graybar.com. Yep, Graybar does that.
True crime fans will love Crime House True Crime Stories, a Crime House original podcast. Every Monday, you'll experience the most notorious true crime cases from that week in history, all linked by a common theme. From serial killers to disappearances to unsolved murders and so much more. Follow and listen to Crime House True Crime Stories, an Odyssey podcast in partnership with Crime House Studios, available now on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.